Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
That's a sound, a common sound now. Almost nightly we are seeing demonstrations against the election of Donald Trump, and that's the anthem, Not My President. Sounds like a purely political statement. You may agree with it or not agree with it, but is there more to these demonstrations than simple political sentiment? Are anti-Trump demonstrations in some way religious? Joining us to answer that question on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 16th, Martin Cothran. He's editor of Classical Teacher Magazine, director of the Classical Latin School Association, and author of a recent column for Intellectual Takeout titled The Real Reason for Anti-Trump Demonstrations. Martin, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Nice to be here, Don.
You point us for some insight into these demonstrations to Russell Kirk and his definition of ideology. Who was Russell Kirk, and how does he define ideology?
Russell Kirk was the author of The Conservative Mind, a book that came out in the 50s that jump-started the modern conservative movement in the United States and to a certain extent in Britain. He's sort of the father of modern conservatism. And his definition of ideology, which is what I said in the article, characterized the people in these demonstrations and a lot of our cultural establishment, was that it was a political religion. There was a political philosopher by the name of Eric Voegelin who used a strange expression. He said that what liberals do is immanentize the eschaton. And what he meant by that was that because you don't have religious beliefs, you've got to worship something. So you end up worshiping politics, essentially. And it becomes your salvation lies in your political success and this sort of thing, which is why I said that these demonstrators, the reason they feel so strongly about this is because that's all they got.
I mean, it's not as though they think they're acting on religious impulse. They probably don't think they're acting on religious impulse, correct?
That's correct. And I think what people don't realize about secularism is that it can operate sociologically like a religion. That's what Marxism did. Marxism was a religion for Marxists. That's what Nazism was. That's what some political ideologies can eventually morph into. Those are more dangerous expressions of it. But what I don't think people realize is that when somebody says they're secular and they're going to operate government that way, and then secularism starts to operate like a religion, and so we end up with a secular theocracy.
And you say, as you intimated before, that this is due in part to the fact that liberalism, at least the kind of liberalism we see in the United States today, maybe not classical liberalism,
right,
has a tendency to politicize everything, all of human life and existence. Talk about that.
Well, we sort of see that in academics, feminism and deconstructionism in English departments, gender theory, and all this sort of thing. And when those things are questioned, you get this very violent reaction, and those ideologies get very intolerant of dissent. And it's because those are articles in a sort of political religious creed. So if you question them, you're not just wrong, you're a heretic.
And they have a concept, whether they acknowledge it or not, you say, of a secular salvation. In fact, it's really kind of two possible paths, which I think explains a lot of the demonstrations. We either going to have salvation in a political solution or going to have some sort of terrible dystopic future in the political solution.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is why, and I did not address the times that sometimes conservatism gets a little bit this way, because we have to be careful of this too as conservatives. But yeah, I mean, liberalism has always been utopian. You have to, if heaven does not exist, then you have to find it on earth. And so the idea is that you make society perfect enough and you get all the institutions right, and then everything will be wonderful. But in fact, as Christians, we know that's not true, because sin is not in the institutions, it's in our own hearts.
Does this secular religion, does this ideology, does it have a morality of its own, a right and a wrong?
Well, you know, the code we had before, which was the tradition of Judeo-Christian ethic, is now being modified and sort of replaced. So political correctness now takes on the role of an ethical code. So those political beliefs become the ethical code. And certain groups get, you know, are the preferred groups and are seen to be more deserving of protection than others. And what this is sort of a taking of certain aspects of Christianity that has broken up in our culture. We're living in many ways a post-Christian culture. And so the values are kind of running around loose. Chesterton said this. It's not the vices running around loose that are causing all the problems. It's the virtues running around loose, unbalanced from all the other virtues that made up a coherent ethical system in Christianity. Now you just have bits and pieces of it, and they get subordinated to the political very easily because of that.
What explains the intolerance of this? Because this is, if anything, a secular ideology that claims to value above all, almost everything, tolerance. That's not in evidence in these demonstrations.
Right. Well, you know, and if your religion itself is questioned, then you start getting surly about it. If it's just your political position, which, you know, normally a political position is just an expediency towards some common end. But when your political beliefs become your religion, they become the end. And so, you know, when they're questioned, it's not just that somebody who disagrees with the politically correct agenda is misguided. They're evil because of this. Because if you disagree with these things, you're not just questioning their political positions. You're questioning their worldview.
And that spells for them, not just 4 years of they believe the wrong president. It's much more apocalyptic than that, isn't it?
Well, if the liberal utopia is the heaven on earth, then I suppose an administration like Trump's might be hell on earth. So no, I don't know. But that's the way it's looked at. I mean, when that's where you find all your meaning and all your purpose is in politics, then it, you know, C.S. Lewis once said, second things suffer from being put first. And when we do that with politics, everything loses, our culture and politics itself, because we can't even have reasonable discussions anymore.
Did we see the flip side of this, Martin, 8 years ago when Barack Obama was elected on what some people called kind of a messianic ticket?
Well, I think so. Being referred to as the one, and which is almost a religious expression, really. And I think people saw that we're going to elect this president, and he's going to bring on this paradise on earth. This is the impression you got in some of the rhetoric. And I do think that's just kind of a one example of the attitude that people have about politics.
Does it help explain why it is that, by and large, the media are, well, they're not silent on the demonstrations, but they're having a hard time explaining them or condemning them?
Well, right. I mean, you know, because even in the media, the mainstream media is itself ideological, which is why I think they can excuse their own bias in protecting what essentially for them are almost religious beliefs. You know, when something's so fundamental about what you think is being challenged, then all of a sudden the end justifies the means. And I think the reason you haven't seen a lot of criticism of these things is partly because they think that it's justified. It's that important to them.
How do conservatives, and you mentioned this before, conservatives can certainly fall prey to this kind of political religion. How do conservatives avoid this kind of radicalism that we're seeing on the left, on the right?
Well, we just have to be careful when, you know, a lot of conservatives have economic positions that favor the free market, for example. And you know, I agree with that myself. But we can't say, you know, if we bring upon this socialistic society or we get Obamacare, whatever it is, it's going to bring on utopia. We need to be careful on our side not to say, well, that, you know, if we just had the free market, everything would be great. You get, people don't say it that way, but you get the impression that's kind of what they mean sometimes. And I think we just have to be careful about being utopian ourselves and understanding that, that politics is all about means to certain ends. And, of course, what's going on right now is we're no longer arguing just the means anymore in our society. That used to be the political debates we had. We're now arguing about the ends, and that's why political discussion is sometimes so virulent.
Finally, then, you say, and I'd like you to explain this, that what is needed is a politics that is truly secular. What are you talking about there, Martin?
Well, what I meant by that is that, you know, we need to make sure that our politics have to do with the this worldly, and we need to distinguish them from our beliefs about eternity and not conflate them like liberalism does. And I said in the piece that they're a little bit like Muslims in this regard, because they too conflate the religious and the earthly. We need to make that distinction, and that's a truly secular view. Is, you know, the politics is secular. We can disagree on this even within the Christian community. It's not a religious statement. We're debating the best way to get to ends that in the Christian community we all believe in.
With about 30 seconds, how would you say the best response, the general response, should be to the ongoing anti-Trump demonstrations, an understanding that they do have, in some sense, a religious impetus?
Well, I mean, we need to understand that these people do. What's going on is an indication of how much this means to these people. And I don't know what to do about it except to try to talk them down and point out that this is just politics, folks. It's not going to bring on an earthly utopia.
Martin Cothran is editor of Classical Teacher Magazine, director of the Classical Latin School Association. He is author of a recent column for Intellectual Takeout titled The Real Reason for Anti-Trump Demonstrations. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. And be sure to use the coupon code LPR when you make your next homeschooling purchase from Memoria Press. They'll take $5 off. MemoriaPress.com. Use the coupon code LPR, MemoriaPress.com. Martin, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series, Setting the Lord's Table. We'll be talking with Pastor Will Wheaton about the liturgical furniture. Most of the time you think about the furniture being, say, the pew that you sit on, but there's a lot more there in the historic liturgy. We'll be looking forward to the last Sunday of the church here with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, tomorrow, too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.